Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
Sir, 201 on the Fan. McMonigle here with you as we got you for the next 3 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019 right here on this Wednesday morning. As we got a little baseball injected into our lives yesterday with, to me, undoubtedly, we'll get to the Mets. We'll get to the idea that Nimmo could be on the move, McNeil could be on the move. You just heard Montas, which Fleeks just whispered to me, hopefully is the worst move that Stearns ever makes. And hopefully it is. But we got plenty of Mets to get to, but we have to start with the New York Yankees. And Brian Cashman in specific, because I know I'm the Cashman chill. I know I never criticize him, and I can see it already. I can see the calls rolling in saying he's the worst GM of all time and the Yankees have no chance to win a World Series without him, and me pushing back and getting off of this idea that today he messed up. Because that's the truth. The truth is today, Brian Cashman messed up. And I hate saying that because I really like Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham is a good player, right? And I heard Keith before, like, we're going to disagree on this one, Keith. I appreciate you hanging in and wanting to listen and get involved. But, like, we're going to disagree on this one that it doesn't hurt the New York Yankees. Because, yes, Trent Grisham is a good player. Trent Grisham had a great year last year for the New York Yankees. He was clutch. He hit big home run after big home run. And I don't even hold the postseason over him all that much. We have seen how many guys have bad postseasons. Like, I'm not going to... He was awful in the postseason. He killed them as a leadoff hitter. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if it's reverted back or whatever. He had a bad postseason. I can point to almost every guy you want to bring in here had a bad postseason at some time. We went over Kyle Tucker's numbers yesterday and his postseason history. I can give you every Yankee fan, every Yankee you love had a bad postseason. That's not necessarily about it either. So I like Trent Grisham. He had a great year, and I don't think it makes the Yankees a worse team just having Trent Grisham on it, but there is no way in hell that you can tell me that this Yankee offseason and trying to improve this Yankee team, that it benefits them to pay Trent Grisham $22 million. It hurts them. And without question, for whatever you think of Brian Cashman, and I know it's all negative for you, most of you, and all the trades, the trade deadline, the big money on big-time contracts that don't work out, then not playing in the ballpark for other big-time free agents, Freddie Freeman, Harper, Manny Machado, whoever your favorite, which one of those is your favorite, and there's plenty. Whether it's, you know, Josh Donaldson, there are tons of moves over the last handful of years, and obviously one championship since 2000 is not enough, and there's plenty of reasons to get on Brian Cashman. Even if I push back on some of them, there's plenty of reasons to get on Brian Cashman. Reading the market typically isn't one. This is usually, whether he wants to get involved in the market or not, he typically has a good feel for the market. He typically understands. And he completely whiffed on this. I don't care. And there's two distinct conversations about this. One, like, yes, is there a plan? Is there always a chance he takes it? Of course. Did the Yankees offer this qualifying offer without an idea of what they're going to do if he takes it, or there's not a plan in place? What happens if he takes it? Or there were, you know, discussions with Hal Steinbrenner on what happens if he takes it? Of course. So we'll see how it plays out before we go absolutely nuclear and go absolutely crazy and scream to the high heavens about how awful this team is. Let's see how it plays out. But there is no doubt in my mind, Brian Cashman rolled the dice on getting a pick, assuming that Trent Grisham, off of the year he just had, with the lockout looming, with reports out there that the Angels and the Pirates and, you know, teams that have sometimes, I know the Angels have spent money throughout the years, but like that maybe teams inside this market right now with the uncertainty of moving forward are might be willing to spend some money. I am surprised Trent Grisham didn't turn down this offer and look for more guaranteed money. And I promise you, so are the Yankees. I don't want... Yes, of course they had a plan. Yes, of course they knew this was possible. But there is no way in hell that Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees, and specifically Hal Steinbrenner, wanted this to happen. This was not the outcome the Yankees desired. They wanted him to turn it down. They wanted to get their picks, and they wanted to go about building this team. There is no doubt in my mind. This was a bad day for the New York Yankees. And again, I feel bad saying that because Trent Grisham is a good baseball player who helped them immensely last year. And maybe he's clicked, and maybe he'll give them another good year. But ultimately, at $22 million, and looking at this payroll already, right now, they are at 282, somewhere around there, between 282 and 286. It's always a little bit up in the air, depending on how you do it. But they've signed, you know, Tim Hill, Ryan Yarbrough, and now Trent Grisham. And that has eaten up almost all of the money up until that 300. They are out somewhere between 18 and 16, somewhere around there, or excuse me, 18 and $20 million left to underneath this 300. $300 million payroll. Like, those three players, Ryan Yarbrough, Tim Hill, and Trent Grisham, that has already eaten up an enormous portion of where we expect the Yankees to go. And I said, I don't think that Hal Steinbrenner has this hard and fast rule of under 300. If that doesn't make any sense, because he went above it last year where they finished at 316. So, like, I think the reports of Joel Sherman are just based on the conversations that Hal has had throughout the years saying you don't need a $300 million payroll to build a championship team, not the idea that he's hard and fast, you know, has this absolute desire to get under $300 million. And right now, there is no question he's going over it. Otherwise, this is going to be one of the worst Yankee offseasons of all time because Cody Bellinger puts them over it. The next move, whatever they do, is putting them over $300 million, so you can forget that. The Yankees are going over $300 million. If Hal Steinbrenner had that hard and fast rule, they would have never made this qualifying offer because you couldn't take the risk of paying Trent Grisham $22 million if you were determined on getting under $300 million. That is out the window, and that's why, for me, from this moment on, We talk a lot about Hal. I talk a lot about Hal. And I think he gets too much flack. And I think he's called cheap too much when he's spending $300 million consistently. Yeah, there's a hole here, a gap here, where it would be nice to put a little bit extra money and fill it. And he doesn't. He doesn't go that last step to go all in and make us all happy. Granted, but he's not cheap. And it gets overblown. But now, without question, this is the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner, because this qualifying offer has put the Yankees in a position where if they're going to go out and fix their holes, and they've been connected to everyone, I mean everyone, even Passan when he put out his final, you know, his major offseason article yesterday, has them connected to Tucker. We all know they want and desire to have Bellinger back. They obviously still need an arm or two at the minimum in the bullpen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
They've been connected to the star Japanese pitcher that's coming out. They've been connected to both of the star the infield sluggers coming out of Japan, Murakami and Okamoto. Like, they've been connected to everyone. Now, does that mean they're actually in on everyone? No. But they've been connected to everyone. This offseason needed to be an offseason to improve a team that wasn't good enough. And they talked about trying to fill their holes. They still have a major hole at shortstop. as of right now, they don't have a left fielder. They're going to have three guys in the starting rotation start the year on the IL. They, like, no shortstop really to start the year, and I guess they're comfortable going with what they're comfortable with. No left fielder as of right now, unless it's Jason Dominguez. At least another arm or two out of the bullpen they're in need of. And, I mean, obviously the starting rotation needs at least a pitcher, unless that's Ryan Yarbrough. So right now, this is without question. Brian Cashman has put Hal Steinbrenner in a situation where he has to spend. There is no doubt about it. And I remember Evan talking about, like, and different people talking about, well, the qualifying offer signifies that Hal is willing to spend, that there's money out there. You don't offer this without being willing to spend more money. Well, we're going to find out. Because as much as I will maybe tell you sometimes about this offense, and clearly looking at it, this is how the Yankees now feel. This is an offense that led the league in home runs, an offense that led the league in runs scored, an offense that led the league in OPS, an offense that, you know, was a dominant force throughout the regular season, but we know what happened in the postseason, and we know what the bottom of the order looks like. And you cannot just roll it back. You can't just roll out Anthony Volpe at shortstop. You can't just roll out a Ryan McMahon who didn't hit it all for the Yankees at third, making $16 million, and we'll get to how that's impacted them too. You can't just roll out the same outfield as good as it was last year. You can't roll out the same 6, 7, 8, 9. You would need leaps from so many people. You would need leaps from your catcher. You would need leaps from your shortstop. You would need a much better season from your third baseman. You need Jazz to have a healthy, complete season. You need Ben Rice to duplicate the hard hit rate with more actual success at first base. You need Trent Grisham to have the same type of year. That is so many ifs and needs to bring back the same team as last year. And I just don't, like, I don't get, and I'll be honest with you, I just talked about this yesterday, about my preference for Bellinger over Tucker. For me, this is where now I'm looking to Hal Steinbrenner and say, Hal, you're going over this final number. You're going over the luxury tax. And quite honestly, now the main reason I preferred Bellinger over Tucker is he was flexible and could play center field, assuming they wouldn't have one. But now they have one in Trent Grisham for this year. Now for me, Kyle Tucker is more in play. I know everyone's reacting, well, now Kyle, you could forget Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is now more in play because you could just throw him in left field. I think a lot's more in play now. I think you are looking at the certainty of trading at least one of Dominguez and Spencer Jones, if not both. I think now you're more confident. You could play Grisham in center field. Now you only need a left fielder. And now you're spending money anyway and going over that luxury tax probably at a good clip anyway. Now, for me, after this, Kyle Tucker is more in play for the New York Yankees. It makes more sense. You don't need his defensive flexibility as much. He's the better offensive player. You're going to have to spend money more than you want to anyway. Why not go get the better player? Worry about center field next year. Oh, it's still only a one-year deal with Trent Grisham. How much could it hurt you? Okay, well, then act like it's only a one-year deal, and then you play a defensive center fielder next year or 2 years from now if there is baseball next year. This is now the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner. Where is he willing to go payroll rise? Because this absolutely threw an absolute monkey wrench right into the middle of keeping this number respectable, keeping this number right at around where it was last year or right around $300 million. I don't know how you do that with $22 million to Trent Grisham. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you add the little bit of contact you need. I don't know how you add that extra starting pitcher. I don't know how you bring back Bellinger. I don't know how you improve the bottom of the order. I don't know how you add bullpen arms. I don't know how you do all of that, which is clearly what they need, while keeping it to a number that this owner, we all know, is comfortable with. And that number isn't necessarily $300 million, but it ain't much more than that. And at 285, at 282 to 286, whatever exact number it is, it's somewhere around there. Just bringing back Bellinger brings them to practically last year. Just bringing back Bellinger alone puts them at roughly the same number they were at last year. He made $25 million last year. He's probably going to get a pay raise in the open market now. You're looking at almost $30 million. They're already at $285. Like, that's it. That's it. They still have a lot more to do. So this is either going to be the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner and being willing to open up the pocketbook to levels we haven't seen him do in a while, or this is going to be the most creative trade market offseason Brian Cashman has ever pulled out of his hat of all time, or it's going to be extremely disappointing. Now, again, we'll get to why Trent Grisham took it. That's a different conversation. I'm surprised he did. And yeah, there is a difference, like, because I got so much pushback, at least a little bit on the Cashman defenders, if you could believe there are some out there, that they wouldn't have offered this if they didn't have a plan. Of course they have a plan. Is it a good one? And is it their first initial? Like, to me, without question, the Yankees are pissed today. And Brian Cashman misread this thing, and he knows it. He knows it. Because as good as Trent Grisham was last year, what is the likelihood that Trent Grisham, who, yes, should have played more 2 years ago and should have played over Verdugo at times and got a better look, and they talked about that heading into the offseason last year, and he got more of a look and had a great year. He was still hitting under 200 for a lot of, like, 2 years ago. Like, he had his top number was 17 prior to the 32 hit this year. Like, do we really expect Trent Grisham to have the same season? And even if he does, was that team good enough to win? The bottom of the order needs to be better. I was looking to add another infield bat. I'm looking to make trades to add to the outfield for contact purposes. Now there's too many outfielders. Trent Grisham being a part of this team makes it more difficult to field the kind of team that improves them contact-wise, improves them depth-wise, keeps the money somewhat in the ballpark of where this owner wants to keep it. There is no doubt about it. I don't care what anybody says. Good players on one-year deals are never a bad move. You just saw it. A good player who had a good year on a one-year deal, this is a bad contract. I understand the prevailing thought of one-year deals aren't bad. This is it. Unless Hal is going to go crazy. And for me, like I said before, this changes my mind on Tucker versus Bellinger. You want to spend money? Go spend money now, Hal. Go spend money. Go get the starting pitcher. Go get Tucker. Have 1 year chasing a championship with Judge before the lockout. You'll have Trent Grisham on a one-year deal. And then if you do all that next year, play Dominguez. Play Spencer Jones if you don't trade him. Or go get a cheap defensive center fielder. You can live with that. You can live with that. But there is no doubt that that was a devastating blow for me to what they can do, the options they have. I think now you're looking at trading either both or certainly one of Spencer and Dominguez, because you have to do something to bring bullpen arms in here. You have to do something to probably get another starting pitcher. You have to do something. You could trade from your pitching depth. But I think that would probably scare the Yankees, considering they're looking to add a starting pitcher, or, you know, add to that starting pitching depth, and they've traded away so many different starting pitchers prospects over the last handful of years. Like, this absolutely completely derails any opportunity of building a better, deeper, more contact offense and an overall deeper team while staying somewhere near the number that Hal Steinbrenner would feel comfortable. This is now the offseason of Hal. Will he spend? Because he's going way over that number if he wants to field a winning team. And this is what he's always said. To be fair to Hal, let's see how the season plays out. Let's see how the offseason plays out. He has always said that you shouldn't have to spend $300 million to build a championship-level team. Well, his general manager, and I'm curious to see how Hal feels about this, right? After years of thinking he can write his own contract and be here forever. Hal likes to say you don't need $300 million to build a championship-level team. His general manager just made that impossible for him. His general manager, misreading this market, offering a qualifying offer and risking this just to get a draft pick has made that statement impossible for the New York Yankees this season. Is Hal going to keep it to $300 million and say it's up to you, Cash, to figure this out? Or is he going to say, I have to spend if we want to win, and that's what needs to happen? We're going to find out whether Hal has a little bit of his father in him, or if Hal is going to just hold firm to his shareholders and, you know, the idea of how much money they're making, or worrying about the new CBA coming up. Or is he going to do what needs to be done? Because to be honest with you, they need another shortstop. They still need a left fielder. They need at least two bullpen arms. They need a starting pitcher to get them through the beginning of the season. That's a lot of things still needed with a little amount of room in the payroll he likes to keep. Brian Cashman just blew up the offseason for Hal Steinbrenner. Let's see how Hal responds. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets. The news about Pete and whether or not the Mets are firm in their beliefs on his value. Would the Mets be willing to move McNeil, clearly? Would they be willing to move Nimmo? As Jeff Passan put out a bunch of names, Nimmo, Vientos, Beatty, all possibly available for the New York Mets. We'll get to Cam Scataboo, who was the talk of the town yesterday, and I was under attack from the afternoon show for my take on it, which my take was it's bad optics. And I don't know if you listened to the fan all day, but... yeah, it's bad optics.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, the Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Yeah. All right, McMonagle here with you. 228 on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So, like, and the we're going to get to the calls here on your Trent Grisham thoughts, your Yankees offseason thoughts, your Brian Cashman thoughts. And again, Brian Cashman screwed up. I'm all over Cashman on this. He's dead wrong. But let's try. I mean, I know what you're all going to say. Let's try and limit it to this situation without going back the last 20 years and fighting about everything that's happened over the last 20 years, because I really don't feel like defending Brian Cashman, but I know you're out there, you crazies, and I'm going to have to do so because you're going to call him the worst and he can't, you know, he's the most overrated. He's an embarrassment. And Aaron, yeah, everyone could do a better job than him. It's embarrassing, you know. Let's just stick to this because I agree this is a mistake. And I didn't even mention there in the open the idea that he can't be traded. I know there's some thought that he would have value on a one-year deal to other teams. And there are teams right now. The rumor is Pittsburgh's willing to spend this year, which is shocking. And maybe there would be a team that would be open to take $22 million. So I'm surprised Grisham took the qualifying offer. I am a little bit. It's not my job, though. I'm allowed to be wrong. Brian Cashman's not. I'm surprised. During the season, I think we all were like, oh, you're going to be able to offer the, you're going to be able to give him the qualifying offer. Look at this year he's having. And then the postseason was so bad that you got a little nervous about it. And then, like, to me, I'm just surprised that he didn't think he had more guaranteed money out there, even with a pick attached to him. So I am a little surprised. And on a one-year deal, maybe there is a team out there who would find him appealing, and maybe the Yankees can convince him, like, hey, you just got your money. This is the most guaranteed money you were going to get for 1 year. You got the best contract you could. I don't know how much we're going to play you. You know, we expect Dominguez to be a part of this team. We expect Spencer Jones to be a part of this team. We're clearly going to have to go out and still get Bellinger. So I can't guarantee you the same number of at-bats as you had last year. Why don't you take a move to another team? You got your $22 million guaranteed. Go play for the Kansas City Royals or whoever and get, you know, play 162 and go get your 600 at-bats and try and put a good season together, because we're not going to treat you as a player who plays every day. Could they convince him of that? Or will he say, yeah, okay, BS, you prove to me that you will take my $22 million and sit me on the bench? Like, I don't know. But the idea that he can't be moved without his permission until June 15th, I do think there could be a way, especially, you know, if they convince him that he's not going to be the everyday starting fielder if they don't trade away Dominguez or Spencer Jones. But no matter how you look at it, for me, this is Cashman misreading the market. And he typically doesn't do that, right? He misreads player evaluations. There's a lot of things he'll misread and mistakes he'll make. I'm not saying he's perfect. He makes a ton of mistakes. You've been there as long as he's been there, you're going to have plenty of mistakes. But he typically doesn't misread things like this, and I think it has put them in a huge hole. Now, I also will say that, and this is why I'm questioning the owner, because if the owner had a line in the sand, like a hard line in the sand, about money that he's willing to spend this offseason, particularly with the lockout looming, I don't think they would have offered it and taken the chance. Unless Brian Cashman was so brazen to say, no, I know. This is what I do. He's not taking the qualifying offer. He's going to go get better money. Like, unless he was that brazen. But if this owner had a line in the sand, I don't think they would have offered it to him. Like, there has to be at least a level of flexibility payroll-wise to even offer this. Like, there has to be some level. Now, again, I do believe they wanted a no. I do believe they expected a no. And I do think they expected to be able to go about building this team without this $22 million attached to the payroll. I'm fully on board. That was the expectation. They misread it. It was a major mistake. But do you even risk it? Like, the risk reward for a pick if the owner said, I'm not going above the 304. I'm not going above last year's 315. I'm not even considering it. Don't bring it to me. Would they have made this risk? So I'm very curious to see what this owner is willing to do and what the next moves are. Because Bellinger alone is going to put them at last year's number. Pretty much. And we all know they want Bellinger. I still expect the Bellinger deal. Like, I still expect that. But that's like the... I think they're going over $300 million without question. I think they're going to Bellinger. But that puts them roughly at like somewhere between 310 and 315 where they were last year. How much further? Because they still have a lot of needs. They still have a lot of needs. Now, I understand how they view it. It's bringing back, if they bring back Bellinger, it's the same offense that led the league in everything last year. I get that. And they're expecting probably to have Stanton for the full year, at least more of the year. You're expecting Ben Rice to improve. You're expecting, like, at least they are, they're expecting Austin Wells to have a better year, and maybe he can figure out what's going on with the nerves in his hand, why he's got cold hand or whatever, and he did have a promising rookie season. So in their minds, they're thinking, well, a healthy Anthony Volpe is going to be an upgrade, even if it's not good enough or what we expected from Anthony Volpe. It should be better than last year. Wells will be better than last year. Rice will be better than last year. Dominguez will be probably better than last year. We have Spencer Jones as a fallback, like, and it was the best offense in the American League last year. It's not good enough, 7-8. At the bottom of the order is not good enough unless they do get affirmatives on all of those. So I'm very curious to see how the rest of this offseason goes. And to me, it's on the owner. And that's because the general manager put it on the owner. And if this flops, could this be? And that's the other major question, right? Because I know it seems like a trivial thing, the qualifying offer, and it's only $22 million. And Cashman has made so many mistakes. How could this be the one mistake? If this owner made it clear heading into the lockout, the payroll was going to be dicey, and they still were brazen enough to go make this decision, and he stinks and reverts back to a bad player who is nowhere near what he was last year, and this whole thing falls apart, and this offense isn't nearly as good as it was last year, and the reason they couldn't go improve it or do different things is because they got $22 million in the to Trent Grisham, I wonder how this owner is going to feel about it, because Brian Cashman just put him in a hell of a spot. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Jeff in Queens. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Okay, so my question is, if the Yankees sign Tucker or Bellinger and they have to trade one of Dominguez or Jones, which one would you trade or which one do you think the organization would trade? So two separate questions. Which one would you trade and which one would you think the organization would trade? Thank you.
You got it, buddy. I appreciate the call. My answer is very simple. Whichever one has more value. I would shop them both. I'm open to trading them both. Like, let's be honest. We've tried this. They still have, if they're going to keep Anthony Volpe, they have Volpe, they have Wells, like they have Ben Rice now. They have a core of the young players. Again, I don't believe it. I think Wells will have a better year. I think Wells can hit. It was a bad year last year. I'm open to the idea he could be more like he was in the second half of his rookie season. I don't think that's a great offensive player, but look around Major League Baseball. It's a pretty good offensive catcher. I'm willing to trust that Wells can have a bounce back year. I'd like to see that. If not, then you make the decision. I don't trust Anthony Volpe at all. I think he can be better than what he's been, but how good? I don't know. And I'm just done with him. But having said all that, right, you have your starting first baseman, your starting catcher, and your starting shortstop. And you've got, obviously, your starting right fielder, who's no longer really, you don't view him. I know he's a homegrown Yankee, but he's making $40 million a year. And he's the best hitter in baseball. But I'm okay with that being the young core. So to me, I'm open to trading both of them to get better. I would go and try and be close as he's willing to be to the Dodgers. Go trade your prospects. Go sign a legitimate another starting pitcher. Go sign either Bo Bichette or or Bregman, which I don't, which was part of my plan. I don't know how they do that now. I wanted to trade for Stephen Kwan. I don't know how you do that now. Like, all of the ideas I had for this offseason get blown up by Trent Grisham being in center field. Because now the outfield's too crowded. What are you going to trade Stephen Kwan for unless you're not signing Bellinger? Which I don't imagine the Yankees are going to do. So, like, trading for Kwan or adding another bat, like, that $22 million kills them for possibly adding Bichette or possibly adding Bregman. Like, unless they're really going to get creative and move all these guys around. So, I don't know. But the question, like, which one? I'm open to moving both, adding payroll, bringing in veterans, and trying to win with Aaron Judge. Like, that's what I would do if I could. But which one, if I'm only trading one, which one would I trade? I would shop them both and whoever got me more value. And I don't know who that would be. I don't know who that would be. I honestly don't. Now, who do the Yankees? I think the Yankees would be more open to trading Dominguez. I don't think there's any doubt. Spencer Jones, at least at the minor league level, and you never know, has proven himself to be a very talented, or at least looks to be, a very talented defensive player and center fielder. He can run. He's got a long stride. He covers a lot of ground. And it looks like he's been a very talented defensive center fielder. They're trying anything they can to make him, Dominguez, work in left field. So defensively, it's not even close. Plus, they'd have the extra, you know, couple of years of control. And I just don't know how they feel about Dominguez. So for me, I think the Yankees would rather trade Dominguez and keep the promise of Spencer Jones. But for me, I would just trade whichever one ended up giving me more value. And I honestly don't know which one that would be. But that's, I would be open to trade if it's like, hey, we're going to move one because we need help doing this or that, I would shop, and whichever one got me the better value and the better trade, that's the one I would trade. But I don't know, and I got to be totally honest with you, and I heard a lot of the thoughts. I know, you know, Marash was talking about this today, the idea that they're blocking Jason Dominguez. That's the least of my concerns with this. I hate to say that. Like, I like Jason Dominguez. If you don't believe me, you should look at my Dominguez baseball card collection. I've spent a lot of money on Dominguez cards. So, like, I like Jason Dominguez. I do. But I don't know what he can be. I really don't. He can't hit left-hand. He can't hit right-handed right now. Defensively, he's a bit of a mess. He's a mess out there, let's be honest. I have hopes that he could be something good. But, like, the idea they're blocking Dominguez, please. If they played Dominguez every day and he wasn't very good, we'd be killing them. Like, I know that's what happened with Volpe, and so why not Dominguez? I don't know, because can you do it twice with the same team? Like, I don't know. When you're the Yankees, I'm not overly concerned about, well, now you're blocking Jason Dominguez. You want Jason Dominguez without question to be part of this outfield 162 games next year? You comfortable with that? I don't know if I am. I have no problem bringing in Trent Grisham, and I don't think they would be completely, and the other thing too is, I don't think they would absolutely play Trent Grisham over anybody else. I know it's $22 million and you would try and justify that, I get it, but to me, I would think, especially if it's Dominguez, because if it's Dominguez, you could sell Brian Cashman can sell himself on signing him and developing him. Like, if Jason Dominguez makes it obvious that he's the better player next year than Trent Grisham, I really don't think they would force Trent Grisham into the lineup to justify a one-year deal of $22 million. I really don't. Maybe I'm being naive. They did that at times with Verdugo. And I know Judge probably has a big role in that. But if you go into the year and you give Dominguez some time here or there and he really starts to mash, it's the same thing that happened with Trent Grisham last year, where it just became obvious that Trent Grisham was the guy. I think if that happens again, they would play the guy who made it obvious. I really do. So my last concern about this is necessarily blocking Jason Dominguez, because in my plan anyway, they're blocking him. Let's be honest. I don't want Dominguez playing every day next year. I don't know if he's earned that, proven that. I don't know. So that's the least of my concern. My biggest concern is how are they improving from last year? If the thought is, and I guess this is the thought, we'll find out. If the thought is, hey, I'll bring back the same offense that led the league in everything, and I got Cole back, and I got a full, you know, Luis Gil for the entire season, and Rodon, and I got Freed and Cole at the top of the rotation, my pitching's going to be a lot better. I'll go out there and probably go a little bit over in payroll, not much, to bring in a couple of bullpen arms. But I've got Bednar under control. They expect Doval to be better than he was in his first little stint with the Yankees, and so do I, but how much better, we don't know. But, you know, you got Cruz, you got Doval, you've got Bednar, you've got some arms back there that you like. They traded for Bird, too, last year, who I know they put immediately in the minor leagues, but it's because they really believe in his ability to throw that slider, but it just wasn't his year. So they've been, you know, they're going to work on him all offseason, expect him to be a key part of the bullpen, at least initially. Like, I think they have some bullpen arms that are going to be better than they were last year. And it's just, hey, our starting pitching is going to be dominant with the addition of one of the best pitchers in baseball to a rotation that had a 19-game winner and an 18-game winner already last year. You're going to have Luis Gil for the entire season, Cam Schlittler for the entire season. So our pitching is going to be dynamite. We'll improve the bullpen a little bit, and we'll bring back the same offense that led the league in everything. I guess that's the plan. I guess that's the plan. And even that now, puts them at numbers I don't know if Hal is comfortable with. And it still scares me, the bottom of that order, and it still scares me throwing Anthony Volpe out there every day at shortstop. And it still scares me that they don't have like enough contact guys. I do like the offense, and I think if they play their game and they swing the bats the way they're capable of swinging the bats, it's good enough to win in the postseason. But, I mean, they have traditionally shown that that's not what happens. So I'm very interested to see how this goes. And to me, now it's on the owner. And more than that, it's the GM who put it on the owner. Like, that's what this signifies to me. This was, hey, we'll take the risk. I believe he's going to turn it down. We'll get a draft pick out of it. And we'll go about building this team. And if not, it's on you to give me more money. Like, that's what it feels like. And we'll see if this owner's going to do it. And he has traditionally not gone that much above and beyond. And it feels like this year he might have to. 888-808-1019. We can get to the Mets as well as a couple of different things. First off, let's talk about Pete, because Pete's been a big discussion here. And Diaz, I guess. Those have been the two big names, right? Now you've got the addition of Montas being cut and released, which was obviously a disaster. We all knew it was I shouldn't say we all knew it was a disaster the minute they signed him, but I don't think anybody really felt Montas was a major piece for this team. We all thought it was an overpay for Frankie Montas. If he was the fourth or fifth starter, you could live with it. That was kind of the feeling when he was first signed, as long as it's not the premier free agent they spend money on in the rotation this year. And, you know, outside of Manaea, it kind of was, at least most money-wise, and it turned out to be a disaster. So they move on from him, who he's not going to be able to pitch all year. And then those two guys of Diaz and Pete have been the biggest discussion. You mix in Jeff Passan talking about the possibility of trading a lot of players. And look, I've been saying this about changing this core a little bit and the idea of David Stearns wanting to build his team. Pete Alonso is not a David Stearns guy. Jeff McNeil is not a David Stearns guy. Nimmo is not a David Stearns guy. Hell, none of these guys are. Even Vientos, Beatty. These are not David Stearns draft picks. These are not David Stearns guys. And they have now failed 2 out of 3 years. But the report on Pete, and I've been talking about this since the offseason last year, this time last year, and how the negotiations with Pete Alonso went. The rumor is they're not going to budge off of what they feel is fair, you know, fair value, or their value willing to bring him back at, you know, maybe 3 years. I talked about this with the Naylor deal. Naylor's 2 years younger, got 5 years. I do not think the Mets are going to go well. He's not getting more than 5 years from the New York Mets. That's for sure. And I don't even think they want to go five. And I do think, unlike last year, where the market just absolutely fell to them, and it came to a point where the scenario kept playing out, kept playing out, kept playing out, and every day. And then you have the Met Day, and, you know, whenever they mentioned Pete Alonso and their thought process on it, the fans reacted. He's their guy. Like, And I would think now, losing last year with Pete having a good year, and the idea that it's about winning and not necessarily seeing Pete Alonso break records, I would think the appetite from the fan base, despite Pete having a great year, would be a little bit different. You're coming off, you know, that incredible season where Pete hit big home runs, and even though he struggled during the course of the regular season, that team felt like they were about to become something special, and you had already signed Soto, and you wanted that Pete Alonso deal, and now the idea, well, even with Pete, the team has, you know, fell on its face and had a different type of year, and you can try and, you know, build this team in a different way. And he's a year older, and his defense completely fell off the table in the second half. Well, I would think most Met fans want him back, no doubt, but will it be that same fever pitch that it felt like as it played out and played out? And plus, there was nobody else. There was nobody else last year. When the Met fans were booing Steve Cohen and booing David Stearns about Pete Alonso, it was just, he's out there, nobody else wants him, get it done. This year, I think, is going to be different. I would think there's going to be a bigger market, a better market, and you're going to see other teams willing to jump into the fray where they weren't last year, and are the Mets willing to go do it? I don't think David Stearns wants to at all. I think David Stearns, in his heart of hearts, would love to have Pete back, but he would only do it for the number. And, like, there are guys that you go and you get uncomfortable with. I don't think David Stearns thinks that Pete Alonso is a guy that he is willing to go get uncomfortable with. And you see, David Stearns is uncomfortable to go after starting pitching. He won't go after guys he's uncomfortable going after. And over the long term, that's probably a good way to go about things. But when you're the New York Mets, when you're the, you know, Los Angeles Dodgers, when the New York Yankees, sometimes you have to go be willing to be uncomfortable. But not for the fans' sake or not for anybody else's sake, but the sake of winning. And I do think there is a way to build this team differently without Pete Alonso. I think David Stearns does too. And I am not surprised at the idea that they are hard and fast on what they feel is fair value and what they're willing to do for Pete, and are unlikely to go off it all that much. And just the report that that's the case would make me think that the owner is not going to get as emotionally involved as he did last year riding the wave of the NLCS. Like, there was no wave. Like, last year was, I mean, there's no way Steve Cohen isn't embarrassed and infuriated in what happened last year. He went out and gave the largest contract in sports history with a team that went to the NLCS. He was expecting he was going to be in the World Series. And instead, the Cincinnati Reds beat him out for the final wild card spot. I don't think there's this, you know, riding this wave of we're about to become something great. It's about, hey, we got to figure out a team that's more consistent than this. And that's why I'm not surprised either. You're hearing things like Nimmo could be moved. We all know McNeil. I would think that McNeil's the kind of guy where literally anything, if you're willing to take McNeil's contract, they will do it for a B-level prospect. I don't think there's any doubt. You're willing to give anybody that might have a chance to be a successful or useful Major League Baseball player, and you're willing to take the money from McNeil, I would think you would have that. I think Nimmo is a little bit of a different case. Nimmo is still a very talented player. Nimmo is a player that, you know, is a little, is changing as a player, where he was initially this on-base percentage, you know, maven, where that's kind of changed a little bit. And he's become a little bit more of a power guy and a little bit more of an inconsistent player. He's less of a defensive player than he was the last handful of years. And his contract is his contract, but still a useful player. I would think they'd be open to it, but you are going to have to get a good return, or at least what they deem to be a fair return for Nimmo. But I kind of see the idea of changing this team. I talked about it. When you fail like they did 2 years ago, and then you fail like they did this year, and it's the same guys, the same core of young players that have been with this team for a long time and traditionally have not gotten it done, it comes a time where you just need a little bit of a change. I would be open to changing this core a little bit, and to me, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing, Pete, yeah, sure, I mean, at our value, but Vientos is up for, you want to vent Vientos? I'm listening. You want Beatty? I'm listening. You want Acuna? I'm listening. Obviously, you want Senga? I'm listening. You want Nimmo, I'm listening, like the entire team right now, outside of Lindor and Soto, feel like they are up to make dramatic changes inside the organization. So I think Nimmo is a guy I wouldn't absolutely look to trade. There is a difference between shopping and listening. I think they're shopping McNeil. I think they are shopping Sanga. I think they're probably, you know, shopping one of either Beatty or Vientos and open to the idea of moving one of them. I don't think they're shopping Nimmo, but they'll listen. And I don't think that's a terrible idea. I'm open to changing this team in different ways. And listen, they don't have the same issue we've been talking about for the first hour with the New York Yankees. They don't have the issue of worrying about their payroll. We know Steve Cohen will do whatever he deems necessary to go spend. Now, does this general manager handle things that way? We will see. But they better be at the top of the market again with all these pitchers. You know, Skubal on the market, possibly. You know, with what's going on, Milwaukee, Peralta could be on the market. There's a lot of different ways to reshape this Met team. And you're finding out that right now, they're kind of open to a bunch of different possibilities. Because if they're going to hold fast and firm on Pete, it worked last year. I don't think it works this year. I think Pete's gone. If they're holding to 3 or 4 year deal, I think he's gone. If they're listening to Nimmo, if there's someone willing to take that contract in this kind of marketplace right now without a lot of great outfielders, he might be gone. McNeil is clearly someone that I would think they'd move on in a heartbeat. And Sanga, the same thing. I think Sanga, you'd have to get something back, but I don't know if you'd have to really knock their socks off or give them something where it's like, okay, like I think they'd be willing to move him and, you know, take a decent return, but not a great one. Those are the two guys they're definitely shopping. Everyone else is open to being moved. 888-808-1019. So we'll talk a little baseball offseason. We'll get into the Cam Scataboo issue again from yesterday, just because, again, the idea that is somehow just no biggie, and he never really put himself in harm's way, and, you know, wrestlers know how to do this. Yeah, wrestlers do know how to do it. He's not a wrestler. On one leg.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.